Welcome to the PwC podcast. We are so thrilled that you've joined us for this deep dive. Today, we are wrestling with a concept that it sounds completely counterintuitive in modern life, the nature of true wisdom. We're pulling some specific excerpts from our source material, the beginning of wisdom, awe, and the fear of the Lord. And our mission really is to decode what seems like the single most important starting point for a life well-lived.
That's a big mission. And you're right, it all seems to hinge on Proverbs 9.10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And for a lot of people, that verse is, well, it's a stumbling block, isn't it? Why would the starting line for peace, for stability, be rooted in fear? We're usually taught fear is the enemy, you know?
Yeah.
But the sources argue this isn't some kind of crippling terror. It's a profound, life-giving awareness that actually corrects how we see the world. We really need to unpack how this specific kind of awe, this fear, becomes the true beginning of wisdom for you.
Okay, let's definitely unpack that paradox, because we all know the other kind of fear, the one that really hurts us. You felt it, right? That anxiety that just paralyzes you, that little voice saying, what if I fail? Or maybe, what are people going to think?
Yeah.
That kind of fear, it feels like it's rooted in, well, self-obsession, and it just shuts down our ability to live freely.
It absolutely does. That kind of fear is harmful. Mm. It tries to control things that honestly are way beyond our control. But the sources, they challenge us to see a difference, to see this healthy fear, a fear that actually protects, that brings life. Think about natural forces. You respect fire, right?
Mm.
Or high voltage electricity, deep water, even a tool like a chainsaw. That respect, that fear, it isn't bad. It's an awareness of power and consequence. You treat a chainsaw with respect. You keep your finger. You ignore that power. Well, you get hurt. Simple as that.
Right. So if we apply that idea, that healthy respect, how do we make sure we don't slide back into thinking the Bible means we should be scared of God? You know, like the hiding under the bed kind of scared. Because if wisdom starts with actual terror, we're just back to anxiety again.
Exactly. And it leads back to this works-based kind of religion trying to earn favor, which the sources clearly reject. We have to look at the language itself. The Hebrew word used so often here is yira. And understanding yira completely changes the landscape.
Okay, tell us more about yira. How is it different from just being, you know, plain scared?
Well, yira isn't about being terrified of someone out to get you. It's more like being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed by the sheer greatness, the perfection, the goodness of someone. It translates much better as awe or reverence or just deep, profound respect. Think of the difference between, say, seeing a police car and worrying about a ticket versus witnessing something like a total solar eclipse that just leaves you speechless. One is fear of punishment. The other is this humbling reverence for something massive, something incredible.
That distinction really helps make it accessible. To really visualize this reverence, the sources use that Grand Canyon analogy. I found that incredibly helpful.
Oh, yes. Key imagery, I think. Picture yourself standing right on the edge of the Grand Canyon. You feel humble, don't you? You feel small. But it's a good kind of smallness because you feel connected to something so vast, so ancient. You're not afraid the canyon is going to, like, attack you, but you are acutely aware of its power, its scale. You don't mess around near the edge, right?
Mm-hmm.
That feeling, that humble, aware sense of, whoa, this is so much bigger than me.
Right.
That's awe. That's closer to the fear of the Lord.
Okay. So drilling down, the fear of the Lord is really living every single day with this deep awareness that God is holy, and also that God sees all, God knows better, and maybe most fundamentally, God is God. And I'm not.
Mm.
I'm not the final authority here.
And that very last point, I'm not God, that's the pivot. The sources argue wisdom begins precisely when we stop trying to run our own lives, like we are the final authority. We just exhaust ourselves trying to keep control, manage how things look, fix problems that are honestly too big for us. The moment we surrender that illusion of control, that's when peace starts to creep in and life begins to align itself based on a wisdom much, much greater than our own.
That really does make sense. So if we adopt this posture, this yira, this awe and reverence, what happens next? What are the immediate, like, tangible results? How does scripture show this posture actually transforming how we behave?
Oh, we see clear transformation described all through the wisdom literature. Take obedience, for instance. Psalm 34, verses 11 through 14. It tells us this fear leads us to turn from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it.
Hmm.
So when we genuinely revere God, we stop treating sin lightly. We stop making excuses for those little compromises. Why? Because we recognize who we're compromising against. Our reverence turns into a real desire to please him. It results in obedience that comes from the heart, you know, not just checking a box.
And what about clarity? Clarity of purpose.
Because life feels so chaotic sometimes, it's easy to lose the big picture.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. That's where Ecclesiastes 12 comes in powerfully. It just cuts through all the noise. It sums up the whole thing. Fear God and keep his commandments, for God will bring every deed into judgment. Now, that's not meant as a threat, like be afraid. It's clarity. It means life isn't just random. Our actions, our choices, they have weight, they have consequences. This awareness, which is born out of reverence, it pushes us to live wisely because we grasp the gravity of our choices and maybe even our eternal purpose.
I think the result people are maybe most desperate for right now is stability. The world feels anything but stable. How does fearing God in the sense of awe actually bring stability?
Look at Isaiah 33, verse 6. The Lord will be the stability of your times. The fear of the Lord is Zion's treasure.
Mm.
When we really recognize God's sovereignty, his ultimate control, and our proper place sort of under that umbrella, we don't feel that frantic need to chase control over everything anymore. If we truly respect that the Creator is holding the universe together, maybe, just maybe, we can let go of the reins on our tiny little corner of it. This trust, which is really the flip side of reverence, produces this deep peace and stability, even when everything around us is chaotic. We trade panic for posture.
Yeah. When you boil all that down, it's pretty simple, isn't it? When I see God rightly, I start living rightly. Yeah. That one shift in perspective, that's what unlocks everything else.
It really is the foundation. Okay, so let's get like super practical now.
Yeah.
This isn't just theory for a Sunday morning discussion. The sources detail how this posture, this awe, immediately changes four key areas of your daily life.
Okay, I think we all need to hold up a mirror to these four. Let's start with something immediate, maybe challenging how we speak to people.
Yeah, this can be tough, especially in a culture that kind of rewards witty sarcasm or, you know, being sharp-tongued. When you truly fear the Lord, you start remembering that every single person you interact with, they're made in God's image. If you revere the Creator, you kind of have to respect the creation, right? And suddenly, maybe those cutting comments or that constant sarcasm, it just doesn't feel funny anymore. It doesn't feel justifiable. Respect just naturally starts to replace harshness because you're aware of the sacredness of the other person.
And that perspective then just flows right into how we approach work or any task, really. The motivation completely shifts.
Completely. The internal question changes. It goes from, will my boss notice if I cut this corner?
Mm-hmm.
Or will the client catch this mistake?
Mm-hmm.
It changes to, would God be pleased with how I'm actually doing this? With the effort I'm putting in?
Mm-hmm.
Integrity stops being just a professional buzzword and becomes like a spiritual imperative. When your ultimate boss is the Lord, you start prioritizing excellence and honesty over just getting it done quickly.
Okay, that leads right into stewardship, doesn't it? How we handle our resources, time, money, talents. I know I personally struggle with that. I've got this trap when it comes to my budget or my schedule. When we fear the Lord, we have to stop saying, well, it's my money, it's my time, my life.
That's the critical shift in mindset, exactly.
Yeah.
We move from ownership to stewardship. It becomes, okay, I'm a steward. Everything I have, it's ultimately on loan, and I answer to the owner.
Mm-hmm.
This reverence, it just instantly clarifies your priorities. You move away from impulse buying or impulse scheduling what I want right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you move towards purpose, what actually honors the divine perspective in the long run. You start investing your resources, time included, in things that have maybe more eternal weight rather than just temporary comfort or convenience.
This is so practical. Before we get to the final and maybe the most freeing practical result of this reverence,
mm-hmm.
we want to take a moment and invite you into a community that's really trying to live these things out every day. If this whole conversation about finding stability and purpose through, well, awe, if that's resonating with you, we really encourage you to explore more with us. Come visit us this Sunday at Pittsford Wesleyan Church, PWC. We're a community that's dedicated to exploring God's wisdom and figuring out how to apply it right here, right now in modern life.
Okay, so that fourth practical area. How we handle stress and conflict. For many people, this is where the freedom really breaks through.
Why does reverence help with stress? That connection isn't immediately obvious.
Because when you really know deep down who is actually in charge of the universe, you are freed from the illusion that you have to control every single outcome. It's exhausting trying to do that. You don't have to win every argument. You don't have to manipulate every situation to make it come out right. You don't have to spiral into panic every time the news looks bad or the forecast changes. Faith, which is rooted in that reverent trust, it slowly, surely starts to replace panic. Because you know the ultimate outcome of your life, your story, is secure in the hands of the one you revere.
Wow, that is the ultimate release, isn't it? The source material puts it so well. When you truly fear the Lord, you stop chasing applause from people. You start seeking approval from just one person, God. That shift,
from people-pleasing to God-pleasing, that's profound freedom right there.
It is. But like any freedom, it requires some movement on our part. And there's usually a hurdle to get over before we can really embrace this wisdom. The primary enemy of wisdom, identified right there in Proverbs 3.7, is that attitude of, I've got this, you know, self-sufficiency.
Ah, the self-sufficiency trap, yeah. We're kind of conditioned for that, aren't we? To be competent, to function independently. So how do we tell the difference between just being functional, capable, and actually being wise in this sense?
Well, Proverbs 3.7 gives us the warning directly. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. See, functioning just means you can handle the day-to-day mechanics based on your own skills, your past experience. Functioning says, okay, I'll handle this problem. But wisdom, born of reverence, born of Yira, says, Lord, I need your guidance to handle this the right way. It's that moment we stop leaning only on our own limited understanding and start actively yielding to an infinite one.
So the fear of the Lord fundamentally is surrender, but not a weak surrender. It's a posture of humility that actually leads to strength.
It's the ultimate strength, really. It's saying, look, I don't want to run ahead of you anymore. I want to walk with you in alignment with your much better plan. This surrender isn't weakness at all. It's probably the single greatest act of personal strength because you're choosing to align yourself with ultimate truth, with perfection itself.
Okay, this brings us right to the point of application for you listening right now. Where in your life are you still kind of operating on that I've got this principle? Where are you trusting your own limited wisdom more than God's? Maybe it's in those strained relationships, or maybe your finances feel chaotic. Is it that one habit you can't seem to shake? Or maybe just that tendency towards anger or worry or anxiety.
Wisdom begins right there at the point of honest surrender in those specific, maybe even raw areas. It's just speaking a simple truth, maybe even out loud.
Yeah.
Lord, I've been trying to handle this my way, and honestly, it's not working. I choose your way now. And that posture, that simple act of humility, that is the fear of the Lord in action. And that is precisely where wisdom is truly born.
So if you're ready to start building this posture, like today, the sources give us a really simple, actionable practice. No complex religious homework required.
Yeah, super simple. Every morning this week, just try this one prayer. It takes maybe 5 seconds. Just pray, Lord, help me see this day through your eyes.
That's it.
That's the prayer. But then the second part is pay attention during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Watch for just one specific moment where that little prayer actually changes how you respond. Maybe it changes how you react to a temptation. Maybe it shifts the tone of a conversation with your spouse or kids. Perhaps it just redirects a moment where worry starts to creep in.
And what do we do when we notice that moment?
Just note it down. Take a second. Write down that specific shift. A single sentence is fine. Do that for 7 days. Look, this isn't about checking off some religious box, okay? This is about actively training your heart to live aware. To constantly remind yourself of the reality of God's presence, His magnitude. That humble, reverent awareness is the fear of the Lord. And that awareness truly is the beginning of your wisdom journey.
That's such an empowering way to move forward. Wisdom doesn't start with getting more information, does it? It starts with posture, a posture of awe, respect. So live today with that reverence.
Mm-hmm. And if this deep dive has kind of sparked a hunger in you for more wisdom, definitely join us next time. We'll be continuing this topic, looking at part two, Growing in Wisdom, which is all about learning to listen and then actually apply what we hear.
Thank you so much for listening to the PWC podcast. We really encourage you to visit us, join our community at Pittsford Wesleyan Church, PWC. Join us this Sunday at 11 a.m.